Michael Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about
information update number 23. Can't believe it's working so hard so long. Well, we're sort of getting there, but not quite. It's sort of been a gruesome day on many, many fronts, and I'm up to the stage of doing a podcast, which is okay. I can do that, and that's all sorted up. And it's when you go through the material again, read a section, ask a question, pose a multiple choice process for that, and convert that into a fully-fledged program. And look, it sounds great. The actual structure is there. So the actual programs get structured for you. I've launched the first structured synthetic program up there. Sounds crap. I don't know whether people listen to it. But the I suppose the general issue is that you start and you just work away. And it's one of these things which you work away and your objective which you're going to sort of falls away and you have another objective. Oh, that's a lovely thing of a social family having a bit of a lovely drink. It's lovely to be able to do that sort of thing. But when you're in a position I am, you don't get that. So I'm just walking past this place and you'll hear the road up to the side. So yeah, look, I'm in a lonely path of just working away, and I suppose it's the only way that I know how to actually, generate multiple choice quizzes, and on the hope that they get taken up. And there's a bit of a challenge there for people wanting to study. Well, listen. So I think that's the way to go, given that sort of all the other opportunity doors are closed. It's rather sad. Sorry. So it's sort of an absolute effort, labour to get there. So where is it? So what's happening at the moment? So I do a podcast, and it should be fairly simple. I've sort of scratched my head because I've taken a piece of my podcast software out and used it separately and it just doesn't work. So I'm hoping it's there. This is where I concatenate podcasts and put it across. It looks to work. Look on the outside to work. I shouldn't go through it. And so we've got this sort of staple of podcasting and then you're podcasting an area and it takes a little while initially to go through, and I had written software to actually eavesdrop in and cut out some software and cut out the words, so you basically have the basic structure of the topic area that you're going into and why you'd want to listen to it, then basically an area that you're going to ask a question about, you read it, ask your question, right answer, three false answers afterwards. Fairly simple thing. And then you record that. In general, I think six questions. It took me 20 minutes to record, which I suppose ideally you want to basically have two podcast phones. That is, as you've just read a section, you decide what the question's going to be, how to explain it. So it's really good because you do your podcast and then you have to do your explanation first, ask your question, and then give the answers. So really, I have two phones, one to take the podcast, the other one to take questions as you go along. It takes up to 10 questions. And how it operates is that you listen, and for the topic area, you just mouse over that thing in Audacity, press Control B, T, I don't know where enter does it. I guess you're going off a game, and that labels that section T. Then it's not as a question. It's question. It has to be question one. So you put Q1. So you've got the topic. Explanation, you say explanation one. Question one. And the correct answer, you give it a label of one. And the incorrect answer is 11. The next incorrect answer that you think of, you give it a number of 111, three ones. And the fourth incorrect number, four ones, or 1111. Just means that you got the one keys over, and you've reinforced it, and then you know very much to move up to twos. Now, this creates a file. You set on Audacity not to ask for the cover or title information. It's been a nice night. These people are walking. Yeah. Okay. This is Friday night. Yep. Just to get my mind correct. So you put multiple export. Just click on multiple export, and it will just export the whole box and die to a file. You got to label it, or you set up once that it uses the label. So all it does is it creates a file with something, a file T, Q1, E1, 1, 1-1, 1-1, all these little files. And then the art there is taking this and creating a Amazon Meta lookup file. So what it does is it then has an array with, I think it's got 6 entries in it, 6 by 10. 10 words, and the array has, I don't know why I've got it there, but this is not really necessary. Store Q1, E1. And I was going to store in the array the actual file name, but I couldn't really bother to do it, because the file name's so generic. I was going to have a linkage between a file name and what it was. But sort of just migrated the name of the component that you listen to, which goes in your multiple choice, in its label name. So it's very nice and easy to manipulate. My only concern was, say, if you wanted to do 2 or 3 multiple choice, like when it gets up and running, you'll spend perhaps 10 minutes doing a multiple choice. It'll produce a complete program on it. So obviously, you can produce 6 hours or more program. That sounds a lot of times, but essentially, depending on what people need, they need the questions, multiple choice questions, in a different way. So. And delivery, you listen to it and you say, delivery, I'm speaking too quickly, too slowly across there. Of course, another thing you can do to speed it up is speed up the tempo. You can increase the, change the tempo, the speed, it goes, sounds like mice. You can say the pitch, and so it's the same speed but higher pitch. Or the combination of the two, it's called the tempo in Audacity. So you can just increase the tempo, so it sounds like normal speaking, but much, much faster. Of course, when you're editing, you want to do that. So, want to contract the tempo, edit it, expand the tempo so you can hear it. So going through this, there's a basic script file saying ask this, ask that. Initially I'll say it's going to be asked, and it works out how many multiple choice questions. There's a little bit of code to work out from the file how many multiple choice questions there were in the file. That's pretty easy. There was a problem that I had question one and the number one having the same file name. Of course, I'd be listing it and it would therefore answer, the correct answer is one. And it took a while to go back in and shift it so the number one. So if I say I have five multiple choice, that five is a string called N5. So that's put in, so it just reads it. So it constructs basically a text code. So for a very short text code, and it just substitutes in. So I've said for number, the number of questions, replace it with the appropriate number that's calculated, and for the questions, I've said questions in format one. Now format one has a code to rightly go through, and what it does is it there's another thing which scrambles the questions, and then it goes and reads through that scramble thing and just quietly puts in question number one. This is the question. A, alternative A is this, alternative B is that, blah blah blah. A bit of thinking time music, and then the answer is, so you shouldn't put it on suddenly birth out of the radio, B or something like that. And then B and the actual answer, so you can check it, so you may not have known what it is. And then after that it picks the explanation up. Now for some reason in the audio construct, to get it out there for people to have a look at it very early on, the VLC player just races ahead and, you know, it begins to say an answer, then it gets on to the next thing, or skips some explanations. But as far as I can see, it's all okay. And so we're not far off. So that's format one. So format one's the question answer explanation couplet. Format two is question test, complete answer, and then answers with explanations. So if you're out there and you're in a class, you can just play that second section. And then the other section with almost no quiz functionality with it is just simply for question one. I probably might get the word for in there. It will have the explanation, question and answer. Just with no distractors. So that's if you want to get the basic stuff. So there's three formats. So I've got the first format and the first collection of files. So it can pick files from two directories. One is the core directory, which has the sort of fundamental music and the standard linking text in it. And there's another file, which directory you can look at, which has just got a huge array of files in it, which are all the questions and answers and explanations all coded up. So that's ready to go. Now, what's happening is that you just convert that list of files, an array of files, into a string, a text file, and then feed it to a concatenate command and FFmpeg. Now, it's, I shudder to think what I'm going to, I still can see a way that if I discover that it's never been intended that you know, someone's put a piece of software, this is using other people's software, there may be a limit, there may be 30, there may be 40, maybe 50, you know, whatever it is, number of files, and I'm asking it to put together 200. So it may mean that I have to break that off in groups coming up. You can hear as I'm slowly walking down to get this done. And yep, the effort is definitely on now to try and get it done. Yeah, it's a thing, so I just have to go back tomorrow. It's hard to say, I've got to, I'll obviously take a bit of a break on it. So I'm nearly there. So I've got the first format one out of three. So I've got the shell format one, which is a question answer explanation couplet with a bit of music going in. That's now going well. It's taken, it's surprising to get it through. So when I first did it, did a loop, but I had the loop in the wrong section, so it just didn't update the questions. It started off with labels of question six, so I just did six questions to start off with. So it detected there were six questions, so it says similar choice with six questions in it, and it's going through there. So the looping was incorrect. Then it took me a while to actually figure that after the answer, I'd have to have an explanation after the answer. It's because it is a teaching tool. And then eventually, being able to put, audio bookmarks in with it. Now, this is one of the things, these people who've got players in cars that, you know, what do you do? In terms of what normally happens is in a car or something like that, it will play all these separate little files, and perhaps what you want to do is have this as track one, the introduction, track two, the blah blah blah, and the name of the different tracks, and then what you want to in a car is for me to write through FM peak what the actual track name is, so when you're driving the car you can see it and go through. You can just put it in there and pop through the different tracks in something, which is something which I'll do down the track, so to speak. But the real nightmare, now, is it a nightmare? I don't know. It's one of these things when they stop working, you can hear these frogs going for it at the moment as I'm going on my long walk. It's a couple of kilometre walk trying to actually get there. So that's where it is at the moment, and I don't expect many people to really listen to it. But yeah, the idea, and look, there's more technology. After this is gone, you can then make the questions adaptive, intelligent, and go ahead. So we might be able to get there yet. The idea is that there's a small audience for molecules and science and technology and an interest to listen to it. There's going to be a much bigger audience, I expect, once I can get out this coded software. I have to think what I do, because I'll have to put up possibly in the blog a directory, and you download the whole bloody directory. So I shouldn't swear that. You download the whole directory, and the directory gets in there, and whatever it allows you to operate things. So you go through. So I'm just looking at, you put it onto USB and you can actually skip the first thing, hit the quiz, or hit the school quiz, sort of, so it'll be I dare say it should be fun quiz, so a fun quiz, school quiz, learning, a learning module. So I'm interested in four basic stuff, so I'm going to have to learn how to write the label stuff such that when you have it in class, so you can automatically select, so it's like a little package. So that's just a way to go. And the major thing is how far I'm off from the actual work on getting it done. Thanks a lot for listening on this one. I'll get on another podcast on some other topics as I go on this long trek. Periodic table recall. Now, people will have heard me going on the periodic table. I tried to recall the periodic table this morning as I was in podcast form. It's fantastic form, podcast form, because you know you have to perform. It's for real. Sort of, you recite something to yourself, you can sort of convince yourself that you know it and not. And I sort of had some real struggle through moments going through it. So let's go. Hydrogen, helium, lithium, beryllium, boron, carbon, nitrogen, oxygen, fluorine, neon, sodium, magnesium, aluminium, silicon, phosphorus, sulfur, chlorine, argon, potassium, calcium, scandium, titanium, vanadium, chromium, manganese, iron, cobalt, nickel, copper, zinc. Yep, just thinking there's nothing there. Gallium, germanium, selenium, bromine, krypton, rubidium, strontium, yttrium, zirconium, niobium, molybdenum, technetium, ruthenium, rhodium, palladium, silver, zinc, indium, tin, antimony, tellurium, iodine, xenon, cesium, barium, lanthanum, going around really quickly, lanthanum, cerium, cerium, praseodymium, neodymium, promethium, samarium, europium, gadolinium, terbium, dysprosium, holmium, erbium, thulmium, or terbium, ytterbium, lawrencium, hafnium, tantalum, tungsten, rhenium, osmium, iridium, platinum, gold, mercury, thallium, lead, polonium, astatine, radon, francium, radium, actinium, thorium, proactinium, uranium, neptunium, plutonium, americium, curium, Berkeley, californium, einsteinium, fernium, mendelevium, nobelium, lawrencium, rutherfordium, dubnium, seaborgium, borium, hafnium, metrium, dramstructium, rotgenium, copernicium, fluvium, nipponium, gosh, more to go. Moscovian, Livermorium, Tennesseum, and Organoson. There you go, that's the whole period table. Much easier done. I really struggled a bit in the morning. It really shows you how much you've just got to keep it in play. It's sort of, I don't think I went the same as Roger Federer or anything like that in terms of periodic table guys, but you just keep up on the game. Now, the risk of being boring, I'm going to go through it again and then go down the columns, see if I can get there. Of course, I haven't got really the columns locked in. So it's hydrogen, helium, lithium, beryllium, boron, carbon, oxygen, oxygen, fluorine, neon, sodium, magnesium, aluminium, silicon, phosphorus, sulfur, chlorine, argon, potassium, calcium, scandium, vanadium, scandium, titanium, vanadium, chromium, manganese, iron, cobalt, nickel, copper, zinc, gallium, germanium, arsenic, selenium, bromine, krypton, rubidium, strontium, yttrium, zirconium, niobium, molybdenum, technetium, ruthenium, rubidium, palladium, silver, zinc, indium, tin, antimony, tellurium, iodine, xenon, cesium, barium, lanthanum, cerium, praseodymium, neodymium, promethium, samarium, europium, gondolium, terbium, dysprosium, holmium, erbium, thorium, yttrium, lawrencium, hafnium, tantalum, tungsten, rhenium, osmium, iridium, platinum, gold, mercury, thallium, lead, bismuth, polonium, astatine, radon, francium, radium, astatine, actinium, thorium, proactinium, uranium, neptunium, plutonium, americium, curium, Berkeley, californium, einsteinium, fernium, mendelium, nobelium, lawrencium, rutherfordium, dubnium, seaborgium, borium, hasnium, metrium, I don't know how you pronounce that lady's name. Metrium, I'll have to find out. Dramstratium. Rotgunium. Copernican. Flervium. Nipponium. Moscovium. Livermorium. Tennesseum. Organoson. Okay, now I've got that down. It's hydrogen, lithium, sodium, potassium, rubidium, cesium, francium. That's group one, group two. I'm going to put helium in group two because it's in the S lock. That's what quantum physics does. Helium, beryllium, magnesium, calcium, strontium, barium, and radium. And then going down the rare earths, it's scandium, yttrium, lutetium, it should be a rare earth, that's the way it should be, lawrencium. Next to it is titanium, titanium, zirconium, hafnium, and underneath that next to it is rutherfordium. So it's actually going to be pretty easy underneath here. Next to that after is the vanadium, niobium, tantalum, and dubium. And then the next one after that is chromium, molybdenum, tungsten, and seaborgium, I suppose, if it's dubium, rutherfordium. The next one after that is manganese, technetium, which is a pretty wacko one, ruthenium, and borium. Then you go under the iron ones, which is of course iron, ruthenium, and osmium, which is a stinky one. And osmium, under osmium, would be hastium, cobalt, rhodium, iridium, iridium, and underneath that would be metrium. Where that lady's name is, that lady who did the fission, and then we've done the iron, then we've done the cobalt, have we? Yeah, we've done the cobalt. Next is nickel, palladium, platinum. Is that right? Yeah, platinum. And dramstratium. Then under iron, cobalt, nickel, copper, silver, gold, and rutherfordium. And then under this of, it's where it all makes, it's got the same pattern as sort of the noble gas end of the whatever it is. I won't die, that's a bloody pea plater. What are they doing here? Oh, not. Okay. Okay, where am I? So, I've done, oh yeah, so this is the zinc, cadmium, mercury, and copernicium. Then we get on to the elements, the carbon, ones before carbon. So that's boron, which is related to carbon, boron, carbon, boron, aluminium, gallium, indium, thallium, and coming up fluvium. Okay, there. Then the carbon. Carbon root is carbon, silicon, germanium, tin, lead, and nipponium. Okay, and on, nipponium, on. Okay, this is all lead. Get the on stuff. Then the pycnonites, which are the nitrogen, so we're getting towards the lower electron affinity section of the periodic table. That's when you get to electron affinity really is only something which is a worry for the small atoms. So you've got nitrogen, phosphorus, okay, nitrogen, phosphorus, the thing, it's antinomy, and under that is bismuth, and under that, under bismuth, you got three in, So that would be muscovium, and then under the oxygens, you've got oxygen, sulfur, selenium, tellurium, plutonium, and the next one underneath it, which is the seventh period under that, is, it's only two away, it's livermorium. Yeah, it would be ium, because it would be a metal one. And then you've got the halogen, so that's the oxygens, which are chalcogenates. There you go, there's a word. So now we're going down the halogens, fluorine for flow, chlorine for colour, bromine I think is one of the stinky ones, isn't it? Bromine, iodine for violet, iodine, and then acetine, which is, means finicky, and then tennessine. Now, the way I come up, I don't put helium in here, but nitrogen, oxygen, these are all P blocks. Nitrogen, oxygen, nitrogen, argon, krypton, xenon, radon, and organosine. Let's get it. So there should be six there. That's nitrogen, argon, krypton, xenon, radon, and that last one, that organosine that Russian he got in at the very end. That's sort of, sort of a bit creepy if you ask me, being alive and having been named in the periodic table. It sort of goes across, you sort of wonder why these people are so, oh, don't name me. It's all this complexity across it, and then structures in the periodic table. So electron negativity flows reasonably good. The most electron negative is fluorine, but the least electron negativity is, well, depending what you want to do, you could call it it would be francium. So you've got francium and gallium, named after France. Germanium is another one named after Germany. Brownstruck, you know, you've got the different, you've got krauts having a world around the periodic table. So you've got that trend. But electron affinity, which is the more interesting one, has sort of a high for chlorine, because it's actually big enough to thread through electrons through it, and low for nitrogen, or low for the ones nitrogen. And you can see electron affinity, when you look at it, is the periodic table is repeated in four separate patterns for the S, which is the side block, D, which is the middle block, P, which is the side block, and F, which is the lower block. And really, if you know the way that I do periodic table, I have the long form periodic table somewhere here. The only other structure in the periodic table is the abundances, which, if it's got an even atomic number, it's much more abundant than if it's got an odd. It just doesn't produce, and you can actually sort of see how it's done from the fundamental nucleogenesis on the different ways. And you've got different ways of, you've got simple main sequence production of hydrogen and a bit of a carbon. Then you've got the slow burn for the very large stars, and that starts to slowly on the S process. It's producing neutrons when it's actually burning the carbon, produce proper oxygen. When it burns the carbon early on, it produces the carbon, it's unstable, it produces oxygen 15, which decays into a helium. So the hydrogen comes in, it, this cycle produces helium. But in the horizontal main branch stars, you get sufficient neutron flux, that if something's made and it's got a lifetime of 100 years, it's going to have, on average, a neutron hitting it, and so you produce, so if it will keep on going up along tracks which have got a reasonable stability, and so you've got S process, R process, production of things, and you know, I must admit, you got to question where the world's lithium comes from. So lithium's a prime candidate of S process. Technetium's S process, doesn't it? It's almost every element's S process there. And then things where you get really super high neutron flux. You've got reasonably high neutron flux in a supernova. It's an explosion process. Now, this is one of the things getting back into the periodic table. People just say, it's in the literature, or a lot of the literature, exploding, why do white dwarfs explode? Yes, I'd like to know why they explode, because they've exhausted all their energy. It's only in, when they're actually getting secret. Munching on another star, do I think they do explode? But it's sort of hard to, really understand what on earth they're talking about then. And then you've got neutron star collisions, which we've just seen. So it's really rewritten, basically, how you look at the population of the periodic table to get across. I think that's all I can really remember about the periodic table. Just to seal it off, it's hydrogen, helium, lithium, beryllium, boron, carbon, nitrogen, oxygen, fluorine, neon, sodium, magnesium, aluminium, silicon, phosphorus, sulfur, chlorine, argon, potassium, calcium, scandium, titanium, vanadium, chromium, manganese, iron, cobalt, nickel, copper, zinc, gallium, germanium, arsenic, bromine, krypton, rubidium, strontium, yttrium, zirconium, niobium, molybdenum, technetium, ruthenium, rhodium, palladium, silver, cadmium, indium, tin, antimony, tellurium, iodine, xenon, cesium, barium, lanthanum, cerium, praseodymium, niobium, sorry, neodymium, praseodymium, neodymium, why did I say niobium in there? Bloody hell, I'm just going to make a muck up there. Promethium, samarium, europium, gundalum, holmium, dysprosium. That's wrong. Goldium, terbium, dysprosium, holmium, erbium, thulmium, yttrium. Again, yttrium and yttrium. Lutetium, hafnium, tantalum, tungsten, rhenium, osmium, iridium, platinum, gold, mercury, thallium, lead, bismuth, polonium, acetylene, radon, francium, radium, actinium, thorium, paractinium, uranium, neptunium, plutonium, americium, californium, Berkeley, californium. Berkeley, californium. So I've said americium, curium, Berkeley, californium, Einstein, infernium, mendelium, niobium, and nobelium, niobium. Bloody hell, niobium and nobelium, bloody hell. Okay, Lorenz, him getting off the side of the road so I don't get bloody well killed here. Lorenz and Rutherfordium, Dubnium, Seaborgium, Borium, Hathnium, Metrium, Dranstratium. Okay, thanks for not running me over. Where are we? Rocconium, Copernicum, Fluvium, Nipponium, Boscovium, Livermorium, Tennessium, and Organism. Thanks a lot for listening. It's a bloody hard task to actually cloak it in, and then you've got to cloak in all those other things. It's really interesting that I've got a general knowledge of molecules, but I have to really struggle again. I've got the DNA down pat, but it's those other beta-carotene, but it's getting a bit flaky. I've got naphthalene and things like that down pat, and those things like that, but those other things, I'll be struggling to tell you what. Novichok, I might do a generalized tour of the nerve gases again. So it's interesting, a chemical which kills you with a minute amount of chemical which actually gets into your body and absolutely totally roots you. That's a chemical which is very interesting. That really opens it. And what is it? Fimoco. That is a particular amazing molecule which I'll see if I can get back into memorizing it. Thanks a lot for listening. Big ideas. I want to play around with a few big ideas.
Another podcast, another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.